Hey everyone, and welcome to Cutting Deeper. This is episode number one, the first official episode of my podcast. I'm so excited. How are you feeling, Bentley?
I'm feeling excited as well.
Yeah, that's good. Very good. I guess we should start by introducing ourselves. I'm Brayden, and I'm joined today with my housemate.
Bentley.
Bentley. Bentley.
Hello, everyone out there.
Yep. Yep. Hey, podcast world. We're getting our heads around it. We'll get there. All right. So we have another housemate named Jared, who's unfortunately not here with us today. He's yet to fly home, and he's going to fly in too late. So you'll meet Jared at a later date, I suppose.
Quite a character.
Quite a character.
Wouldn't you say? The jester of the house?
Oh, the jester. Always just joking around.
Yeah, it's been a bit boring the last couple of days. No offense. No, your jokes are
plenty taken. All good. No, so the idea of a podcast, Cutting Deeper. For me, I kind of came up with the whole idea of doing a podcast last year. I really wanted to do one. I don't even really know why.
No source of inspiration?
It just kind of happened. I was at my dad's house in Port Macquarie, and one day I just thought I should start a podcast.
Yeah, good a reason as any.
And then I've just been like kind of driven to do that for a few months. And then I didn't think I'd actually do it. But here we are. Here we are in the first episode and it's actually a thing. And I guess the vision for me is I really like hearing people's stories. I really believe that everyone has something that's really interesting about them. And I really like trying to get that out. And I see that just in my housemates with Bentley and with Jared. Obviously, we'll be starting to interview more people as well. But yeah, it's good. Like, these guys have a lot to learn. No. They don't have a lot to learn. We can all learn from each other. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's true.
And there's a lot of depth there. So that's really the vision behind this. It's just pretty simple. Just get to know people, hear their stories, and hopefully I can share some stories and people get inspired through that. That's really the whole reason.
That sounds like a great idea. But who would be your number one person to, if you could have anyone in the world to ask these questions to?
Number one person.
Number one. Anyone.
The dream.
But they've got to, they can be dead. Living or dead.
They can be dead.
They can be dead as well. Bring them back for the podcast.
Oh man, that opens it up pretty big.
Yeah, it's literally everyone.
Literally everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess the cliche answer, Jesus, that would be pretty sweet.
He'd have a lot of answers, wouldn't he?
He'd have a lot of answers. Yeah. He'd have a lot to say.
Yeah.
Interesting character, I'd say.
Bit of a jokester.
Bit of a jester of the time. Yeah. Who would you sit down with, Bentley?
I don't know. There's so, like you were saying before, there's so many people that know so many things. And I suppose it would just depend on the day, what I'm interested in on that particular day, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it could go anyway.
Like if I'm hyped on the World Cup, it could be, I don't know, Cristiano Ronaldo or something like that.
Funny you should say that. Cristiano Ronaldo. Oh, it's just the World Cup at the moment. And he's done quite well, hasn't he?
Oh, he's done amazing, as he usually does. But you know what I love about Cristiano?
We'll talk about that.
His arrogance. I love Cristiano's arrogance. Something about it is like, you know how you meant to, like, usually when someone's arrogant, you're like, oh, like, God, what a bit of a, you know, a bit of a dickhead. But with Cristiano, he backs it up every time.
With his
amazing goals and stuff. And
he's flawless.
You just can't hate him.
He just executes. He gets the job done.
Exactly.
You've got to love that about the guy.
He's definitely been doing that.
Someone who backs up their arrogance is pretty sweet. We were talking about this the other day when we watched the Messi game, Argentina and Iceland. You were just dissing Messi. You just kept dissing him.
Because he wasn't doing anything.
I
love Messi. All right? I would even say that I'm more of a Messi fan than a Ronaldo fan. Just because, you know, I like Adidas more. The Nike.
Prime reason.
Yeah. But Messi was... surely he had, what, 10 shots on goal? And how many goals did he score?
He didn't really complete, but he had the ball a lot. He did a lot of dribbles.
Like I was saying, if I was on the field, I could have had 10 shots on goal.
I'm not
None of them would have gone in. No, none of them would have gone in. But just me kicking in the general direction of the goal, that's an attempt. So unless Messi scored, I'm not giving him a pass in that game. And I wouldn't have been passing the ball in that game either because he wasn't scoring.
Oh, I love it. Oh, sweet. All right, let's move on. So, Bentley, what do you do?
What do I do? I'm currently studying pharmacology at RMIT.
Pharmacology? Mm. Wow. Can't pretend that this is all news for me.
Mm. You surprised by this?
I'm not surprised by this at all. But because we've talked about this stuff before, but pharmacy gets a bit of a bad rap. Big pharma, out to make money.
Mm. Aren't we all?
Not necessarily. I don't think so.
Some of us are just a bit better than others.
I don't think so. Why do you think that has that reputation, the industry?
Big pharma or pharmaceuticals in general?
In pharmaceuticals in general.
I think it's simply because of the large amounts of money involved. And I don't think people realise how much money it actually takes to develop a drug, one single drug.
Mm.
There's so many different stages. Like I was doing a course last semester, clinical trials, and the amount of research and study that goes in to not only developing, but finding the drug in the first place. You'll start out with a drug bank and you'll have 5,000 different molecules that you want to look into.
Mm.
And then along the way, each stage of drug development will cost so many hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars.
Mm.
And then eventually by the end, you'll cut it down. And you'll find molecules that don't work, molecules that have no effect in a human, no effect in an animal, or are toxic. And you'll cut them out. And then eventually right at the end, you'll get one single drug that will do what you want it to do. And along the way, that could cost up to $1 billion.
$1 billion yeah, for one drug.
$1 billion for one drug. And that drug development time can take 10 years plus for a single drug.
Mm.
So when you look at, like, I'm not saying that they don't make a decent amount of money from it.
Yeah.
But the amount of money that they pour into and resources that they put into looking into new drugs and developing new drugs that never eventuate and never make them any money.
Mm,
the amount of money washing around in that industry is ridiculous.
Yeah, there's heaps in there.
And I think that the people don't really realize where that money is going. I think that's where that mistrust comes from. Because all they see is drugs come out into the market.
Yep.
Their prices might be extravagant. And that's all they're seeing. They're just seeing this greedy company. And I'm not saying that companies aren't greedy. Of course they are. Anything to do with capitalist companies is going to want to make as big a profit as they can. But along the way, there's a hell of a lot of money that goes into things that are just wasted.
Yeah. So why did you want to get into that?
I just find the idea of drugs really interesting.
Yeah?
And I don't come from the background where I'm dropping tabs at the nightclub every weekend, but more so, I just find it fascinating how someone can ingest a single pill and it can have a myriad of different effects inside the body.
Mm.
I find that really fascinating, that the chemical composition of this little pill can change so many different things within your body. It can affect so many different processes or organs or how different things interact with our body. I just find that really fascinating. And so that's kind of why I got into looking more at the drug development side, looking at investigation of new drugs. That's what's really interested me.
Yeah, okay. So it's the new drugs and the potential for what can be done in humanity.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because we're moving to a stage now where we're looking into individualized medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So medicine that targets the person as an individual. And we're moving away from this sort of grouped up medicine where we prescribe within certain groups.
Yeah.
And the ultimate goal would be someone coming into the doctor's office and they have a few tests done and we can target exactly what drugs they need for what condition they have.
And we'll be able to develop something for every specific...
Exactly.
Every specific situation. Yeah.
Or at least we'll have tests in place that will allow us to narrow down or eliminate things that won't be as efficacious for certain individuals.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's sweet.
That I think that is the way that medicine is moving at the moment. Mm. That's what we're moving toward.
Yep, yep.
Mm.
Yeah, that's exciting times, the potential for what could be.
Mm. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The amount of things we can already do in pharmaceuticals and medicine alone is incredible. And then when you look at the direction we're moving in and the possibilities being opened up by biotechnology and genetic variation and everything like that.
Yeah, right. Incredible. Can you unpack those two things? What was the first one?
Oh, biotechnology.
Biotechnology.
And genetic variation. Well, at the moment, there's a big debate going on about something called pharmacogenomics. So this is basically just dealing with the whole concept of individualized medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been known for a long time now that within populations, and this is just dealing with sort of drug metabolism and how it affects certain populations, that certain races or certain people will have disposition toward metabolizing certain drugs more effectively or not as effectively. And I say race simply because research was based off the races at that time.
Okay.
Kind of thing. And obviously when we're moving into individualized medicine, race isn't going to matter.
Mm.
And so these variations, they're called polymorphisms. And basically, we all have enzymes inside us. They're called cytochrome P450s. And when you ingest a drug, it gets metabolized. Sometimes you can ingest a drug in an inactive form. Yep. It gets metabolized in your system into an active drug. And that'll go out and do whatever it needs to do within the body. So some people have really good metabolizers. So they really metabolize this drug really strongly. So when you take a dose, the effect is a lot stronger on you. But say I went in and I took the same dose, but my enzymes don't metabolize it as strongly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have as good a response as you are, or as powerful a response.
Right, right. So is it linked to metabolism of how of food?
This is more to do, these enzymes specifically to do with drug metabolism.
Oh, so they're quite separate?
Mm.
So, okay.
Yeah, so I don't really know if it has any effect. Not really with food metabolism. But these enzymes specifically are targets for drug metabolism. Mm. And these are the enzymes that they're looking into at the moment to see how you can make someone respond better to certain drugs. Mm. So I'll give you an example. There was a drug that they developed it was some kind of heart failure, and it was called Bidil. And initially, they did studies on it, and they found that it worked better in African American populations. And so the drug was actually patented by the FDA in America for African Americans. So on the label, it said African Americans.
Yeah, wow.
So to be prescribed to African Americans. And that was a crazy thing at the time because that was the first drug ever that had a race connected to its prescription. Never before had anyone said, oh, you can only prescribe these to the Asian population or only prescribe these to Caucasians.
Right.
And so this was kind of like the first drug. And this opened up that whole debate on the, where pharmacogenomics was going towards individualized medicine.
Yep.
And why we use these subgroups such as race and why we hadn't just progressed on to individualized medicine. And we're using it more as like a crutch to move along.
So it's the next step from where we're at now.
Mm. Yeah, basically. Because we're still using subpopulations now. So in a lot of our research, I'm sure you've read research papers that said, in South Asian populations, it worked such and such percentage or something like that. Or in Hispanics, it worked.
Not really.
This much? Oh, okay, well, they have a lot of publications have that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're still using the subgroup of race in a lot of research.
Yeah, right. So that was biometabolism.
Hmm.
What was the other one you mentioned?
Oh, they're pretty much tied together.
Tied together, right. Okay, sweet. So, in this space, what's some of the exciting new upcoming things that drugs can currently do or will soon be able to do that will blow my mind?
Blow your mind? Oh, man. I mean, there's so many drugs these days that can do almost anything. I think the further we move on, the more targeted and the more specific drugs are going to get.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's conditions out there that affect one in, I don't know, 1 million, 2 million people. And currently research is working towards finding drugs that affect those sorts of things. But there's heaps of things. I think I told you earlier about they were testing a drug for Alzheimer's in rats.
Mm.
Last year, I think it was. I can't remember the publication. But they actually found that it regrew dentin in your teeth, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So basically what that means is that in the future, like this is obviously in animal models, it hasn't been tested in humans or anything.
Yeah.
But in the future, there might be, instead of going in to get your teeth filled at the dentist, you go in and take this pill and your teeth will regrow itself, which would be a real blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that means don't stress too much about brushing your teeth these days.
Oh, I wouldn't say
drugs
that.
Drugs will sort you out.
I wouldn't say that. Drugs are, yeah. Drugs
it's like a backup, eh?
Yeah, it should be a backup. We should all be working for prevention, not looking for cures.
Yeah, I hear. Yeah, sweet. It's so interesting what the future could potentially hold.
Mm. Yeah. Well, the further we go along, the more things we uncover. And who knows where it'll stop. We might be immortal in a couple of years.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading about that recently.
Mm-hmm.
The potential. It? Oh, yeah, so I should go get a book. There's this book I've been reading, kind of.
Yeah.
Called 21 Questions, I think.
Mm.
All right.
Are you not?
I'm going to go get a book.
Okay.
Yeah, so the book is... The Philosophy Gym by a guy called Stephen Law.
Mm.
I haven't read any of his stuff before, but it was talking about designer babies.
Ooh.
Designer babies. Mm. So the idea is we're already at the stage now where through IVF, you can select the gender of your child.
Mm.
It's actually banned in the UK. This is where the book was based. I don't know what the rules are here. Do you know?
No, I have no idea.
No idea. But with IVF, we've got to the point now with science where we're able to select gender.
Mm.
And it's talking about the ethical, unpacking the ethical arguments behind that. Like, so if we start getting to the stage where we're able to select genders and one gender is in higher demand than another gender, like let's say everyone wants their kid to be a male, we have way more males in the population and then we're a bit stuffed as far as reproduction goes because everyone's male.
Yeah.
And there's no female. So then that's a potential societal like kind of consequence. That's the word I'm looking for. Societal consequence.
Yeah.
But he said maybe we could regulate that, say like give financial bonuses for someone to have the less desirable sex to even it all out.
Mm.
That could be a potential. But he keeps unpacking and he keeps unpacking what would happen if science keeps progressing in this area where you get to the point where you're able to select how smart your kid will be, the looks of your kid. And then potentially that would cost a lot of money. So the rich people would look all beautiful. And then potentially clones. Like what happens when we've got clones? And then what happens even further along the line if we develop we get to the point where we can change someone's DNA to take away the thing that makes you die, the thing that makes you age and perish. So you become immortal.
Mm.
What are the ethical... results of that. if we're able to make people immortal. Like this is all speculation. We have no idea if that will ever be able to be a thing. But gee, what happens then if we've got immortal people running around the planet and more people just keep being born? And yeah, we can regulate it all we want. But what happens if these people just start going to more developing countries and set up shop in a developing country, and rich people can just go to a developing country and then like make an immortal kid? It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Man, like the ethics discussion behind that is huge. Because I think, like, at the moment, what those things are used for, I think everyone can agree when they're using that kind of technology in terms of curing diseases or curing something that's going to negatively affect the child's life. But in the context of that, when you're going in simply for the want of the parents, for having a child that has a certain hair color, has a certain eye color, has a certain IQ, and is not going to negatively affect the child if they didn't have any sort of input into its development.
Yep.
I think that's when the ethics behind that, it'd be a never-ending discussion, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
Because what is the real benefit of that? Other than happy parents.
Well, you are giving your kid a kickstart in life.
Mm.
If you choose to make a clone of a beautiful person
with
a high IQ, you're setting them up for success
just
by their DNA alone.
Yeah, that's true.
But what this guy kind of says, many would argue that whether or not we want to regulate the use of these genetic techniques, they are going to be used anyway. The wealthy will certainly want the advantages that genetic engineering can provide, and money finds a way. Genetic engineers, realizing the fortunes they can make, will set up clinics in poor countries, unwilling to ban procedures that can provide a dramatic boost to their economies. So like it or not, it's only a matter of time before we begin to see the emergence of a longer living elite, whose members are not just far wealthier than the rest of us, but also far healthier, far more intelligent, and far more attractive. The human race is about to divide into two distinct classes: GM humans versus the rest.
Oh, man. I'd love to be one of those GM humans.
It's too late, mate. Your genetics have held you back.
No. I can restart. I'll get my clone going in a little test tube, and then I'll do a couple of alterations in there, and then I'll live through that clone. I'll just stay at home. I'll just let it live.
Man, is that... to the point where we're using VR to live through your own clone?
You would if you could, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, some of this stuff is a bit science fiction. Like,
we're going
to
get there.
I don't know if we can get to immortal people, but we are editing genes. And there's arguments about whether we can edit the, what is it, the germ strands? Or what are the strands called?
Oh...
it was the germline or the somatic cells. So we're tinkering with the somatic cells or the germ cells. And I think it's the somatic cells. Somatic cells is tinkering with the cells of the DNA of the individual. But as soon as we start messing with the germ cells, we're tinkering with the cells that get passed on. The DNA that gets passed on. So potentially, if we mess with a germ cell and stuff something up, we could change the whole of humanity irreversibly. So there's big discussion about whether we should be able to change germ cells at all without the consent of all members of society. That's what he quotes a guy saying.
Would you modify your child if you had the opportunity?
I don't think I would. I'd let nature take its course.
Yeah.
As far as gender, 100%.
Because the thing is, say you modified your child to have look great and have a really high IQ. Would you feel as proud when they inevitably are successful? Not that leads inevitably to success, but like you said, it gives them a head start. Would you feel less proud knowing that, well, I've kind of paid for you to be that good, so you should be that good?
I guess I would. I would. But that's just probably like a class thing. Like, because...
Would you feel more disappointed if he was a failure, knowing you sunk all that money?
No, I don't think I could be a rich person. It's the whole, like, if I was rich, I wouldn't want to spoil my kid. You know what I mean? It's the same concept for me. But doesn't mean we should ban it for the rest of society.
Yeah. I just get this vision of, like, someone's paid for their kid to be really good. Like, there's, like, 100,000. He comes home, gets, like, a D.
Oh, he'd be and so the parents disappointed.
Are like, oh, you know, I paid 200,000 for that IQ upgrade. And, I mean, it's not really paying off. Goodness me. Yeah, I don't know.
It's consumerifying people.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's all interesting. I personally, I'd avoid it. Mm. But on the level of society, I don't.
You wouldn't deny that to anyone else.
I don't know. I'm glad. All I'm saying is I'm glad I'm not in a position to make any policy on it. Because it's a complex issue.
What I'm waiting for is the merging of humans and machine. You'd partake in that, surely.
As in get a robotic arm? Or as in become half robot in my head?
No, like your brain you can keep. Okay. But the rest of your body...
My whole brain is...
Like your normal brain, yeah, your whole brain's normal.
But
you can
the
keep
rest of my body below, from my neck down,
is
superhuman.
Robot. Yeah.
Or even head and put the brain in a robot head.
Like your brain gets whipped out and they just plop it into a robot.
Would I look the same as I look now?
Do you want it?
Maybe. I don't know.
Now we've delved into self-confidence.
No, here's what I think. Here's the only reason I would get involved in that.
Yeah.
If someone chopped my arm off, get a robotic arm.
So you wouldn't actively get it chopped off to get a robotic arm?
I don't think so.
What if it's like, make you 100 times stronger?
But, so what? I mean, what do I do? What do I do? Like,
you can throw a ball really fast.
I mean...
Do you want to do that?
No.
Oh.
I'm pretty content with where I'm at right now. Would you?
I reckon I would.
What would you get done?
What wouldn't I get done?
you'd just turn into a whole new body.
No, I don't know. Oh, like, you know the bionic eyes? I reckon I would get a bionic eye. Because my eyesight's pretty bad at the moment. I wear glasses. And it's not great. So, if anything, I would get new eyes.
You'd upgrade your eyes.
I'd upgrade my eyes. And probably get like a couple extra, I don't know, some... targeting upgrades or something.
Target upgrades?
Oh, well, just like if I'm searching for something, and I just go, oh, eyeballs, I'm looking for this, and then they highlight it in the world.
Would your eyes be able to, like, zoom in? Would you be able to, like...
Oh, they're chameleon eyes. They're independent.
You're just looking in all different directions.
Yeah. I'll just go, hey, search for, I don't know, McDonald's or something, and they just bang all over the place. Looking for the big gold notches. Nah, I reckon I would get new eyes.
That's actually probably fair enough.
Yeah. But in terms
your eyes
of,
are holding you back right now.
Yeah. But in terms of normal functioning limbs, like my arms and legs, probably wouldn't mess with that. Until it was 100%.
So here's the thing. I don't feel a need for a robotic leg or arm at this point.
That's because you've got all of them.
Yeah. But also because the option's not really there yet to have a good one. What if we get to the point where, like, you want a leg like you want an iPhone?
Yeah.
There's leg companies out there that are just be like, upgrade to the newest. X1 leg.
Hand Crusher 3000. Oh, my goodness.
These are all such cliche names.
Yeah.
But whatever it ends up being, what if there's these companies that just market their products so well... And then all of a sudden, I want the latest arm.
You want a new arm.
I would get into that.
I think I've got no idea. I mean, we all fall for the latest tricks. Who would have thought 100 years ago that we'd want to be buying new phones every year?
Yeah, this is the next level, though, because you're removing a normal functioning
phone. There's no turning back.
Yeah, there's no going back. You're not like, oh, I take that off. I want my old arm back. It's like, yeah. Oh, it's in the bin already. You chucked it out.
What if you could go back?
Oh, you could go back?
Yeah.
Oh, then surely you'd do it in a heartbeat.
Why? It would cost so much money.
Okay, well,
and then you have a big scar of where they've zapped it back on.
Okay, obviously money's not an issue.
Money's not an issue.
No, okay, if we were discussing this and money wasn't an issue, we might as well not even be discussing it.
That's true, because neither of us are going to get one.
So in the context of this discussion, money's not an issue.
Okay, fair call.
Okay, so if I knew that I'd chopped my arm off, got a robot one, popped on there for a little bit, and I was, you know, like, I was going through the day, I kept crushing glasses and stuff, and I wanted to pat my kid in the head accidentally and, like, knocked him out or something like that.
You'd be devastated.
I'd be like, all right, maybe not for me. Arm Crusher 3000 comes off, normal arm comes back on.
Put the old one back on. Yeah. So does it get out of jail free cut? You can go back.
Yeah, you can go back. But that would probably have to be within, I don't know, like, 3 days. Like, they give you a cooling off period on your arm. You know, so when you get your operation done, you wake up and go, all right, you got 5 days, go out there, experience the arm, test it out, see if it does what you want it to do. If not, come back in, we'll pop your old arm back on,
pop it back on, just like that.
No, I'll just sew it back on.
What if people started being able to hack your arm?
Would make you think twice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but like only after you've got the arm do you realise people can hack your
arm.
This
is the thing. Do you reckon, say this happened, right, and they made these arms. Do you reckon they would make it so that the strength in the arm would be the same as like a normal human strength?
Well, what would be the point of it?
Oh, because like say your arm got chopped off.
Okay, yeah. So it's just...
Say, okay, this is talking about amputees.
It's just a replacement limb.
Yeah, a replacement limb. Or do you reckon they would make it the potential for it to be like superhuman strength?
They already exist.
What do you mean?
Like if you think now, right, robot arms are pretty strong. Like they can grip something way harder than we can.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm sure there's like people with early stage robotic arms. Like pneumatic arms.
They've got arms that you can have sensation in now and things like that as well.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But like, as far as strength goes, I don't know about like muscle strength.
Yeah.
But like gripping something, I don't know. Yeah, it's a very like...
Just a claw.
It's like you can't really do much with that apart from holding a cup really hard.
Something you might want to do. Or lifting up a cup.
I think you'd be counting on the strength of the rest of your body to get that up.
Yeah,
you couldn't just have an arm. Your shoulder throwing a car around.
Yeah, you'd be like, can I get my shoulder replaced as well?
Yeah, you have to get. And then you have to get your whole body replaced.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I'll get my chest. I'll just get the whole thing.
I don't feel the need to pick up cars.
What if your kid was under it?
There's like stories of people getting superhuman strength when they're in a crisis situation.
Imagine having that strength 24/7. Lift a house off your child.
What's my kid doing under a house? Why do I even have a kid? I don't even have a kid.
Well, you got the Wicked Witch of the West. Yeah. What? Child. No.
I'll strike that.
Cut that bit out. You know, the witch from the... Alice. No.
I kind of want to leave this in.
Oh, what is it? What's the one with the Tin Man and the Scarecrow?
Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, Wizard of Oz. Yeah, you know the witch?
No, I haven't seen it. I've never seen it.
What do you mean?
I've never seen it.
You never seen the childhood classic Wizard of Oz?
No.
We're saying whether we get our whole bodies replaced with robotics.
Yeah, so in short, I think I'd just keep my body the way it is unless I really needed to.
Yeah, I think... If it ever came to that, they'd really play on that. Because, you know, like, people these days are already insecure about their bodies.
Mm.
They would be like, man, wouldn't you like a shiny new leg? Your leg looks like crap at the moment. It's all skinny and got skin on it. Wouldn't you love a nice, smooth, metallic, robotic leg?
No.
No, I'm saying, say you pretend to be insecure.
About my skin, about and your, I would rather
no, a robot. Your body, about your body. Say you hated your...
I hate my body. I'm so insecure.
You hate your right arm.
My right arm.
Yeah, you're like, man, just, I hate this arm. This so arm much evil done with this arm.
Is just holding me back in my life. Yeah. If only I could have a better arm.
If only there was a replacement out there. And then flashes on the TV. Oh, new right arm model coming out this spring.
You'd get Maybe.
It. You'd get it.
I don't think I would.
You would.
I can't say because at that future version of Braden would, for some strange reason, think a robotic arm is cool. Yeah. And that is completely foreign to me right now.
Mm.
There's no world where I would get a robotic arm right now. But maybe in the future, everyone just wants them.
Man.
The real issue is here on Cutting Deeper.
Cutting real deep.
Cutting to the core. Right, so... okay, so there's something I've been wanting to show you all day, Bentley. Mm-hmm. So you've got it there on your laptop. I'm pretty excited for this.
Show my reaction.
It's the video from Cristiano Ronaldo on the weekend. If you don't know, so if you're watching this from the future, which many of you will be, it is currently 2018 and the World Cup is on. Cristiano Ronaldo scored a hat-trick against...
Legend.
Who the heck did they play? Spain. Portugal, Spain.
Yeah.
3-3. I didn't watch it. Watched the highlights. Looked like a classic game.
Oh, flash of the Titans.
Cristiano Ronaldo, last minute, scored an amazing free kick. There was a wall in front of him. How do I describe it? Anyway, he kicked it over their heads. It was millimetres away from their heads as they tried to head it out. Curled back around into the top corner. Goal. In English.
Mm.
In Portuguese, it was a little more exciting than that.
Is this what you're showing me
now? And this is what I'm showing you now. He just keeps going. How's that music?
I love the passion.
Cristiano!
Man.
Oh, I love it.
I love the passion. I don't know what the English version was like. But
yeah, I kind of want to know what he's saying.
Yeah. Did that have subtitles?
No, it didn't have subtitles. It wasn't even. It was just a video of pictures. Was nothing. But, yeah. Passion.
That was a last minute. Like, right at the end of the game. So, I can understand
how it was insane. It was very exciting.
Mm.
But there's an English version of excited.
Yeah.
And then there's Portuguese. He's losing his mind.
I know, which version I'd prefer.
If only we could understand what he was talking about.
Yeah.
But passion. This guy always lives with passion. Mm. I am fascinated with living with passion. I really think it's pretty important to do. Living your life with purpose, vision, and like fire.
Mm. On fire for life.
Saying yes to life.
Yeah.
his band that we both love, Gang of Youths, have a song. Say Yes to Life.
Shout out to Gang of Youths.
Yep. They're pretty good.
If you guys want to check them out, they're on Spotify.
We're not here to plug them. Anyway, it's a great song.
Mm.
But just that concept of saying yes. Saying yes. There was a movie a few years ago. Yes Man, Jim Carrey. He just changes his life by saying yes to everything.
Mm. But in saying that, don't be afraid to say no.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. Well, that comes without...
Don't say yes to stuff you don't want to do.
Okay. All right. But say yes to things that will make you uncomfortable, that you will give you experiences that you would not otherwise have.
If you feel like not being uncomfortable, say no.
That's a classic Bentley thing to say.
Oh, all right. We're getting personal now. All right. Bring it out. Come on. Let's go.
No. I'm just saying, you would say that.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Are we not doing this now? Doing this later?
No, no.
The personal stuff. Keeping this under
wraps. Editing that.
Okay, sorry. Keep going. About your passion thing. This is good. So we'll go...
No, this is something... This is something you would say.
Yeah. I admit that if I don't feel like doing something, I'll usually just say no. That's something I've been trying more lately.
That's good. Saying yes to things.
Yeah, and I'm kind of... No, saying no to things.
Oh, saying no to things?
Yeah.
Why do you think saying no is so beneficial?
Because there's just so many times... Like, I don't want to say any specific examples because people might catch me out. But there's so many times where I say yes to things where I'm just like... And then I do the thing.
Mm.
And I go, man... Why did I say yes? This is exactly how I thought it would be. And maybe that's just my own predisposition before going to do the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still would have preferred not doing the thing. Because maybe it wasn't my thing.
That is fair enough.
Mm.
Not really where I thought this was going to go. But that's all right. Because we've got to pretty much wrap up.
Yeah.
Moral of that story is, I think you should say yes to things. Bentley thinks you should say no to some things.
Get that balance.
You do the things that you want to do. So, moral of the story is, I think Bentley thinks you obviously shouldn't do some things. I think you should do some things. Choose the things that will benefit you and say no to the things that will not benefit you.
Mm.
Mm.
Just do whatever makes you happy.
Just live your life with passion. Challenge yourself, I reckon.
To a degree.
Obviously. Actually, we disagree. That's all right. All good. Thanks so much for listening, valued listener. We have to go and pick up our housemate from the airport as he's flying in soon. So we have to wrap up. Also, because we've already gone over the time limit that I'd said that we probably would go to. So that's all right. Thanks so much for listening. Drop in on iTunes or one of those other places. Leave a review. That would be fantastic. If you have any suggestions for future podcasts, any questions you want to ask,
hit us up.
Hit us up, slide on into my DMs or Bentley's DMs.
Okay. That's what you want to do?
With podcast related things.
Mm. Nothing more?
Nothing more. Thank you so much for listening, valued listener.
Thanks, guys.
Listener, see you later.